Okay, so we were talking about real estate mostly in the previous episode, but we teased a couple of times your platform, a technology platform for schools called School Dispatch. Can you give me 30 seconds on what School Dispatch is and why I should care?
Sure. I think a lot of people will care. If you have kids or you were a kid, you probably experienced at one point or another you were absent for school. And so the process is generally your parent calls the school and they mark you down as absent or excused or whatever kind of nomenclature they use for that. And I just thought that that was, let me back up for a second, because actually my wife came up with this idea.
I have to give credit where credit is due.
This would not be a thing without her for sure. Like I mentioned in last week's episode, I wanted to develop a widget and I wanted to do something interesting that solved the problem, but I couldn't figure it out. I tried to figure that out in the real estate space, like trying to scratch my own itch, but I was like, I think I was too in it to be able to see anything about it. And so my wife is a teacher, and I asked her what her pain points were at school. And she said attendance, for sure. Attendance is just a huge pain. So we talked about that for a little while. What does that look like? You know, could we develop a software or an app? And it really didn't make sense from the teacher standpoint. First of all, teachers don't make a ton of money. So what are they going to buy, or what is the school going to buy for them just to help with attendance? They already have a way to take attendance. But then she said, you know, what's really chaotic is the front office in the morning when everyone is on the phones, manning the phones, because there's all these absence phone calls coming in, there's tardies coming in, there's voicemails to listen to. I mean, there can be hundreds, depending on how big the school or district is, there can be hundreds of calls going on in the morning and throughout the day. And so our first iteration of thinking about this was, you know, when you call a pharmacy, you can just go through their phone tree and you can refill your prescription or something like that. And we thought, what if this was just automated so that the attendant staff don't have to touch this? You know, what if we can just do that? And so when I first started talking with a developer, he said, you know, a phone tree is a good idea, but actually it'll be cheaper and easier to test this out as a text-based platform. So that's what we started with, was a text-based platform. And actually we're still there at a text-based platform, and the parents just eat it up. They love it.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine, because getting through having to wait for the message and then say, okay, Susie's going to be at a doctor's appointment, that's a pain in the butt compared to whipping out a text, texting Susie Jones is going to be at a doctor's appointment, and then text it to a number. You forget about it. She doesn't get marked incorrectly in the attendance books, and everything's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really simplifies a process where you're saving, you know, at least a couple of minutes on the parent's side. When they're making the call, you're saving a couple of minutes on the attendance staff side. And then you're actually going to be saving the teacher a couple minutes too, because if the absence is already correctly inputted in there and they don't have to see that there's no one in that seat over there and have to mark that. So you're saving quite a bit of time when you extrapolate those numbers to hundreds and thousands, depending on how big a district is, it's going to save, you know, hundreds of hours.
Yeah. And I can only imagine the data that can be captured. When we first started talking about this at 1 million cups the other day, my mind jumped all the way to that data collection. And again, I'm not talking about data about kids. I'm talking about anonymized data that could be tremendously helpful to the Centers for Disease Control.
Mm-hmm.
Like if all of a sudden you have a school where 25% of the kids are out, that should raise a flag someplace that, oh, something's going on there.
Right. Yeah. A lot of school districts do need to know symptoms. And so that is one of the fields when you're going through the text flow. If they're absent for being sick, it's going to ask for that if the school wants that. Some schools don't want to ask that, but yeah, they can see those trends, and some of them need to report to the state if they have certain things like a norovirus or, you know, chickenpox, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. One, you take friction out of the system, which is always the test of a new technology. Does it significantly remove friction from an existing system that is mandatory? And by the way, these notification systems are mandatory. They're legislatively mandated by federal and state authorities, and probably local as well, that you have to do this. It's not a nice to have, it's a must have.
Yeah, I mean, schools won't get funding if they can't calculate their attendance.
Yeah.
So that's a very important thing. And it's actually something I found out more recently. I was talking with a retired superintendent, and he asked me if I had any familiarity with average daily attendance, which most states use. And that's how they find their funding, because schools get about half of their funding through states most of the time, but it's based on their average daily attendance. So they have to submit a report at the end of the year so that they know what their average daily attendance is, and they get funding based on that. And I'm working on some things to actually help schools, not only with, you know, this problem of the phone calls, but helping them raise their attendance rates.
Yeah, wow. So obviously this product is very, very sound, but it's also very, very new.
Right.
And we've talked a little about the personal brand named Nate Fields. Now you've got a small business brand called School Dispatch. What are you actively doing right now to lay that groundwork, that foundational brand groundwork that's going to be necessary for your technology to scale successfully?
I'm big into networking, so that's kind of my way of getting out there, meeting people, talking to people. It's what I prefer to do. I prefer a face-to-face with someone if I can. That's really hard to do sometimes, especially when you're talking about a technology that could easily scale to anywhere in the world. But some stuff doesn't scale when you're basically a startup, and we basically are a startup. So you have to be making those introductions, you're DMing people on Twitter and Instagram, just trying to find whoever you can, because I'm not networked in that space to the degree I am in the real estate investing space.
Right.
So that's been a little bit of a challenge, but it's also good. So the way we actually start, we were looking for a school to beta test in. Mm-hmm. And so I had a friend who was on the school board of a private school, and they were willing to beta test this last year, and we did that. And it went pretty well. I mean, there's definitely some bugs that we had to fix. And I mean, that's to be expected with any new technology, but they took a risk with us. And then the end of the school year came, and we were kind of like, well, now what? Yeah. we need to get into some big districts, or at least to a district. And so I was not aware at the time, but the administrator that we were in connection with at the private school, her husband was the superintendent of a district that was just one town over.
Mm.
So that introduction was fairly easy, and that's actually the first customer that we had.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding, and we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
Well, and that's the key thing when it comes to building your brand. You have to demonstrate what you are, how you do it, and why people should care. And once you do it to one person, is there a way to take that one person and leverage it to other people? Can they be a force multiplier for you?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if they're happy, then they certainly can be. And what's interesting about school districts, especially if you're in a pretty big metro area like Chicago, they all talk to each other. Yeah. They all go to the same regional events. They're talking to each other. So once one uses it, another one's going to use the technology, and then another one. So it will grow, I think, organically based on which schools adopt it first.
Sure. That, to me, is a real opportunity for you. And if you'll allow me to give you a recommendation.
Absolutely.
It would be to, you came up with a key thing that I think is important, which was the average daily attendance KPI, key performance indicator, right? If that's the metric that states are looking at, if you were to go to a event or a conference, teachers are always going to conferences. If there was a conference, especially for school administrators, about how to not game the average daily attendance number, but how you can enhance or how you can get the best benefit out of it, where you literally demonstrate the ROI of several different things. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you demonstrate is School Dispatch.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a direct selling opportunity, you know, hey, buy this thing. It's more like, here's the old way. Here's what studies have shown has been the average, whatever, mm-hmm. ROI on it or whatever. And you literally take people down that pathway toward technology shifts and then say, and this is where it's going.
Right.
You don't have to say, and by the way, I'd love to talk to you about your challenges, because people will be walking up to you afterwards saying, I would love to talk to you about this solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I was doing some research after I found out about average daily attendance.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, how can we use this? How can we help schools get better attendance rates? And I found some research online, and it's as simple as sending a postcard to all the parents at the beginning of the year that just says why it's important that your kid is at school.
Right.
When they did a study with that postcard, they only sent it once, and their attendance rates went up. significantly. So it's stuff like that. If you're communicating why it's important and that the school will actually get more funding because your child is there, that just explaining the why behind something is very valuable. And so that can mean tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars more money that the school district will get if they get an uptick of 1% or 2%.
Well, and I love that kind of flip, because school dispatch is going to increase communication with fewer actual touch points with parents. And what I mean by that is, you know, my daughter, Claire, thank you, Claire, way too many times left her percussion stick bag at home. So I would have to cart it over to the school and hand it to the people in the front office, and she'd come down and get it. Well, they're also on the phone when I'm dropping this thing off. They're slapping a post-it note on that, and they're trying to do this, that, and the other thing. If all that phone call taking were handled by a system, they could spend more quality time engaging with me, the parent, which would enhance the brand of the school as well.
Yeah, the attendance staff will have so much time freed up. I mean, they'll still have duties to do with the attendance, because there's still going to be some things that they have to be checking on and looking at the reports and stuff like that, making sure that the kids are where they're supposed to be. But this will free up so much time that they'll be able to engage with the parents, especially those with chronically absent kids, and figure out solutions to, you know, engage with them and get them in school more often.
Well, one of the things I like to tell people, especially people with new products, is there's a tendency to want to sell your product on features. It does this, it does this, it does this, it does this. Well, that's great. But here's the thing. Companies want to sell on features, but buyers want to buy benefits.
Right.
How is it going to help me? Is it going to free up my staff? I don't know of any school staff that is sitting on their hands doing nothing.
Right.
They're all wearing too many hats. Yeah. Undoubtedly, if you're a upper level administrator, you're hearing about it. We need more people. I need some help. If you can say one of the benefits to you, Mr. or Mrs. Administrator, is that you aren't going to be hearing those gripes or those legitimate concerns from your staff, that's a tremendous benefit, because believe me, one less gripe on my plate, that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we want to put people in a position where they can do work that's more valuable for the school and that should be more satisfying, I think, than sitting there listening to voicemails.
So when you talk to someone about school dispatch, what are the first words out of your mouth?
Basically, that we automate the process of how absences are handled at schools. I think everyone knows that it takes a phone call. And still, the surprising thing is to me that 99% of districts don't have any sort of solution for this. It's still a phone call. And that's what's still kind of bewildering. I mean, there are some other startups, I guess you could say, that are in the space, but no one's really gotten into the market at this point. And we actually just inked a partnership deal with the largest student information system provider in the US. And so being one of their preferred vendors is going to be hugely helpful to us to get into the market where they're in, which is something like 75% of schools.
Yeah. Well, again, you've got a lot of different messages that need to get out there. I mean, once a district successfully engages with you, you now have to, with them, communicate what the system is, how it works, and why you, the end user, the parent, would benefit from that and why you should use it. I mean, I look at my phone now, my mobile phone, I use it for actual voice phone calls maybe 5% of the time.
Right.
The rest of the time, it's a text machine, it's a computer, it's a video screen, it's a gaming device. The phone aspect of my phone is now the absolute minimal thing I use it for and want to use it for. In fact, the only inbound calls I seem to be getting are from all sorts of stupid people who are abusing spam phone calls, you know?
Right.
Things like that.
And yep.
So every time it rings, it's like it's an annoyance.
Right.
Meanwhile, if a text comes in, or you know, I can text very quickly, what I have to do, that's tremendously time-saving.
Yeah, I think the current statistics are something like 4 billion people in the world text multiple times a day, and that number is only going to continue to grow. People also check texts or will clear texts much more than a phone call, a voicemail, or an email. So it's just, it seems like the smart way to go. It initially was for a cost savings perspective, but now we found out that actually it's a lower barrier of entry to the parents, because we could have developed an app.
Sure.
But as I was researching another company that was potentially a competitor, they had an app, but it had like 1-star reviews and there was like 100 of them.
Yeah.
And a lot of them said, if I could give it 0 stars, I would. And I'm not going to name the company, but we just saw that because it's so buggy and then parents have to remember another login and then it's, you know, this and that, texting just, it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, because I'm guessing that the phone number is then linked to an account. So if I say, Susie or is sick today, they auto-populate the last name of the family and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's attached to the school database, and so it knows the parents' phone numbers, and it knows which kids are at which schools as well. And so there's just one number as well for the entire district. So you don't have to have, okay, this attendance hotline for that school, this attendance hotline for that school. It's just one number. And then it gets populated to the right place that it needs to go. And it's just, it's about as easy as you can get. Unfortunately, since we are on a podcast, you can't see it, but right. You can go to the School Dispatch YouTube channel and check that out in action.
Definitely do that because you'll be able to really get a sense of the product, but I don't need to because I'm going, all I have to do is text Claire is sick today and boom.
Yeah. You just follow the text flow. So you can text any character to get it started and then it will just ask follow-up questions. So it gets everything it needs to go and then it will go where it needs to go. So if Claire was sick, then it'll ask for symptoms and then what day.
Wow. Parents who are listening, doesn't that sound pretty attractive?
Go bother your administrators.
Yeah, well, exactly. but that's really key because this is going to be a word of mouth product for a lot of people because it just makes so much sense.
Right.
But it also needs to be demonstrated. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, some advice that I would offer up is find every possible demonstration venue that you can. I know you're scheduled to speak at 1 Million Cups in what, a week or two?
Yep, 2 weeks. Yep.
So is a part of the thing you're going to be giving a demonstration of the product and how it works?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, that's key because I like to tell people that the number one goal of branding is differentiation. So remember when you were a realtor or a real estate professional, at first, no one could differentiate you from any other realtor or real estate professional. But over time, your reputation, your look, your demeanor, your relationships, those things all serve to differentiate you. Differentiation, number one goal of branding, but the number one technique is demonstration.
Yeah, and that's key. And I brought up that we have this new partnership with a company and they actually have their big annual conference coming up at the end of March. We decided to hop on board and be a sponsor there, which is not an insignificant amount of money.
I bet.
But it puts us in front of 1,500 decision makers. These are going to be the high level, the CIOs, the CTOs, the superintendents are going to attend this conference. And I was trying to think, you know, as we'll have our little booth there with some swag, I mean, we're going to have to engage people somehow. And instead of just saying, hey, come over here, we want to kind of make it fun. We want to have a game, essentially. So it's going to be me and my partner in the business. We'll both have our phones because we've got dispatch on our phones. And we're going to have like a text off. So we're going to have people engage with the software and then the, you know, the winner gets a sticker or something like that. But, you know, they'll get to see it in action and then they can, you know, see the benefits of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's key. I can't think of anyone other than old school Luddites who don't use technology. But the fact is they don't exist anymore in schools.
No. And, you know, everyone in a sense is getting younger and younger. I mean, even when I was selling real estate, I had 80-year-old clients that preferred texting.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not going to be a technology that's hard to figure out.
Yeah. Well, that's very, very cool. So that's School Dispatch. If you're involved with any type of school district or as a parent, as a teacher, as an administrator, you owe it to yourself to check out School Dispatch. Are there videos on YouTube, you said?
Yeah, we got videos on YouTube. You can look up School Dispatch there. Our website is schooldispatch.co.
Hey, nonfiction branders. Did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And chief content officer at Marketing Pro Goffs, Anne Hanley said, "This isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts." Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, R-O-T-O-M-A. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way.
So you got Nate Shields, the personal brand, who's kind of involved in a bunch of different real estate things. And then you've got, you're listed as what, president?
President, I prefer head honcho, but yeah.
Yeah, okay, head honcho of School Dispatch. How are you balancing that in terms of your work life? I mean, is it, I imagine right now that School Dispatch is the very needy baby.
Yeah, it's definitely become that. I would say it's roughly 80% of my time is on School Dispatch at the moment. The real estate investing stuff kind of takes care of itself. I write an occasional article for Bigger Pockets and, you know, throw up a YouTube video on my YouTube channel there. But that takes much less time. All of our properties are under property management. So it's not like that takes up a ton of time either. And I have a partner with that. So since this really is our little startup baby, yeah, it's starting to eat up much more time.
Well, the good thing is you've laid the foundation very firmly for the one aspect of your businesses, your career, your professional life, that you've now got the bandwidth to devote to the needy baby.
Right, exactly. And I'm happy to do it. I like new things. So this is new, and it's the thing about being an entrepreneur is just that it's an interesting problem to solve, and it's also a way for me to keep learning. And I think that's what's really key. It's not the sexiest product probably. And there are times where I thought, do I have a passion for this? And I think a long time ago, I probably didn't because I thought it was kind of unsexy.
Right.
But as I've grown with the product and what we're doing and the problem we're solving and the things I have to learn and the people I have to connect with, it makes every day super interesting.
Well, there you go. Because again, you reframed your product in your mind. It went from mundane, prosaic, and now you're discovering the shiny, fun, interesting aspects of it. And no matter what your career is, if you are aligning your interests within that career, like I'm going to say plumbing, I would never be interested in plumbing. Would it be possible for me to get excited about plumbing? Well, yeah, if it were aligned with my interests, with who I truly am. So in my case, it'd be like, okay, let's market this plumbing company in a really fun way. Let's do videos. Let's come up with an interesting, exciting way to use newer forms, whether it's texting. Like if you texted flooded basement to us, or we got known for that, wouldn't that be cool? Okay, how do we do that? And then you can get excited about your, quote, boring sector. Back when I was an actor, there was an old saying about the plays I'd be in, there are no small parts, only small actors. And that's kind of true in business as well. There are no boring sectors. There are just boring people within that sector. So if you align yourself, your interests, and the way you do things in a way that builds your personal nonfiction brand, you can have a really successful professional career brand as well.
Absolutely.
So, well, welcome to Madison. I mean,
it's great to have you here.
And let's talk just very, very briefly about two things that I think people don't necessarily think go together: entrepreneurship and work-life balance. Because from my point of view, you're doing both at the same time.
Yeah, it's part of what brought us to Madison. Like you said in the last episode, it's, you know, it's such a balanced city, and we didn't have that balance in Illinois. I mean, there was like nothing to do where we were. There was just cornfields around us. And so we wanted something that was walkable and that had a lot of activities and restaurants and fun stuff to do. So that was part of like the life balance, like that we wanted to enjoy where we lived, even though we were taking ourselves out of our comfort zone. And a lot of people ask, like, why are you moving? Is it for a job, for a family? No, because we wanted to. And a lot of people don't get that. So we wanted to do that. And then along with being an entrepreneur, the beauty is, you know, I work from home the majority of the time, but I try to get out to these networking events as often as possible. And I'll start doing actually quite a bit of traveling this year, probably going to a lot of these conferences.
Well, it's kind of funny that you are not the only person who moved to a place because they wanted to live there. Frequent listeners of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast will remember my friend Bea, my friend from Nelson, Tasman, New Zealand. Well, she's a Hungarian who just went to New Zealand on vacation and decided to move there and then find a job that was aligned with who she is, what she does. And she's been really, really successful there.
Awesome.
It's so great to have you on the podcast, Nate. I really wish you the best of luck with School Dispatch. And I want to talk to you more sometime about your teachable courses, because believe it or not, I'm interested in doing the same thing when it comes to helping people build their personal brands and their small business brands, following what I like to think of as the philosophy and practice of nonfiction branding. If you're listening to this podcast, it's likely you're interested in exactly that type of thing, because that's what we talk about here. So once again, for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, I am DP Knutton, and he is
Nate Shields
of School Dispatch and all sorts of real estate things. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, DP.
All right, I'll talk to you everybody else next week. Bye-bye.